You can be seated, you guys, unless you're going to play along as I give announcements. Good to be back with you. We were on vacation for a week. We weren't here last week, but it's good to be back on this Father's Day. And, you know, the best father we can have is our Heavenly Father. And we may have had an earthly father who was good. We may have had an earthly father that was not so good. But we do have a Heavenly Father who is perfect in all things. And may we realize that and come to understand that together. Just some announcements I'd like to make here this morning to you, because I know that's why you came, to hear the announcements, right? So don't anyone leave after the announcements, to say, like, okay, I've heard enough, I'm ready to go. Glad that you're here, and the announcements that as you look at this coming week, there is prayer partners that meet in the library. You are more than welcome to be a part of that. Anyone who would like to pray, or you don't have to pray out loud. You can just come and pray and get in with what the ladies are saying or whoever shows up there. Come and be a part of that on 9:30 this Tuesday. And then Wednesday is Wednesday Night Fellowship. That's at 6 o'clock. You're asked to bring a little something to go along with the meal. There'll be someone that will be grilling the main course. And Dean Ramsey says, I've lost a good griller for a while. You know, and he's talking about Don Vermes, who hopefully will come and be a part of us here shortly as well. But he needs to be staying at home and watching himself as well, especially when the street is so torn up out here. They don't have very far to go, but for him, it's quite an ordeal. So we're grateful for what he and Kathy do every week for us as well. Do want to let you know that there is some praise the Lord item in the, actually there's two of them that I can see here. One is that the nursery is getting a new facelift and it's been all painted, and we're so thankful for the property committee and others that have been asked to help with that. So take a peek at the nursery on your way out. If you go out toward the south for the parking lot, nursery's right there. It's just in progress. And then also that Avis Davis had 12 people show up on Tuesday for a painting class. Anybody here go to it? Okay. I told her, I said, my wife's been nudging me. You should go to that. I just think she doesn't want me to be around. But she goes, you got some artistic ability. You should go and be a part of that. I go, really? She goes, you should try it. So I told Avis, she'll probably see me next time when they meet. So we're grateful for what she does there as well. Do want to remind you that this Wednesday is the anniversary for Alan and Sharon Holman. 65 years. It's also Alan's 86th birthday. Oh, really? Oh, it was last Wednesday. Okay, we're celebrating it today, as well as, well, maybe we won't celebrate Wednesday, huh? Well, whenever I see him, to celebrate it with you. I congratulate you every time. But we just want to say thank you to the Lord for the great years that you have been blessed with, and the children and the grandkids that you have as well. And thanks for hanging in there through the tough and through the thin type of a thing as well. Marriage is not an easy thing, no matter how many years you've been married. It takes a lot of work to make it work, that's for sure. But we're glad that we can celebrate this with you and congratulate you today as well. Do want to let you also know that on the back side of your bulletin, there is some pictures and some announcements that are there, Vacation Bible School. If you got any questions about Vacation Bible School, or if you'd like to help in any way, see Amy Johnson. She's here today, and you can talk to her about those kind of questions or find out what she does need. There's also in the back of the church a whole new list of the new people on the church council and committees and chairmen and all those kinds of things. Just so you know who they are, you can help yourself to take one if you'd like. And those are the ones that make sure that a lot of things get done around here. So there are prayer requests as well, and we're just going to have a word of prayer together as we continue our worship service here this morning as well. But let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the dads, all the fathers that are here today. We pray for those that are watching us by Zoom who are also dads and fathers and maybe grandfathers. And yeah, we got those here too. And I know there's a great grandfather here, maybe great. I don't know how this all works. But Lord, you use dads in the lives of their children and their wives. And it just goes on and on. And we're thankful for all the memories that we can have, even if they're gone today. But they've been a huge part. They're always a huge part in our lives as we grow up, as we get married, as we have kids. It's just one of those things where we don't know a lot of things about what's going to happen in life, but things do happen. And sometimes dad is there and sometimes he's not. But we're thankful for those that are here today. And we pray that there will be many phone calls or cards or things that will be sent that will just allow people to express the love that they have to their dad as well. And so we just are mindful, Lord, of those that are in our prayer request here this morning as well. We pray for Donna Osher and cancer kind of things that she's going through with her and Bruce at this time. And Cheryl Meyer, who just got home yesterday from Sioux Falls having hip surgery. Pray that you would allow her to continue to heal and to recover in a way that people will know that God is the one who is the great physician and is bringing the healing that she needs to recover from this. And we also think too, Lord, of Christy Peck, the death of her uncle that happened maybe a couple weeks ago or something like that, that you'd be close to the family during these days and times as well. So we just thank you for being able to be here this morning to worship you and to allow you, Lord, to speak to our hearts as well and preparing us for not just for today, but even for the week, the days that are ahead of us, that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The responsive reading today comes from a little pamphlet that I've had in my file that I just kind of, this is where it comes from. What did God have in mind when he created the family?
To understand the character of God, it is essential that we love him and be like him.
And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them.
God's authority is not harsh and vindictive, but to the contrary, he is unspeakably gentle, long-suffering.
What is your response to God when he simply says he loves you? Can you be still and know that he is God without rushing into a frantic activity to earn his approval?
All through life, you have had to perform and compete. Rest in God's love because he already loves you.
You must find forgiveness in your heart towards anyone who has hurt you.
God is the perfect father. He always disciplines in love. He is faithful and generous, kind and just. God is patiently waiting for every dad to come to him.
My Heavenly Father has a heart that says he loves me because the Bible tells me so. Amen. I'll ask the choir to come on up and share a song that you've been practicing for weeks that are specially done for the fathers that are here today. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much, choir. You'll notice that anyone can be in the choir.
Including you.
Yeah, I hear that every now and then. But I only can do so much. We're going to do something a little different. My mom watches by Zoom quite regularly, and all she can see is the backs of your head. I just want you to just turn around, or if you want to stand up and look. I mean, look at the camera back there and wave to my mom. And I know she's probably laughing and smiling right now. And she'll thank me later, or she'll chew me out, one of the two. Anyway, it's better to see a face than the back of a head, that's for sure. I invite you to stand as we look at what our text is going to be this morning on this Father's Day. Kind of probably an unusual one, but it's okay. It comes from Matthew, the very first book in the New Testament. And we're looking at verses 21 through 22, so it's not very long. It says this, "Going on from there, he," which is referring to Jesus, "saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee. Preparing their nets, Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Lord, on this Father's Day, may you help us to see what you'd want us to see when it comes to being a dad. And whoever is a father here today may leave with a thought, knowing that you have impressed upon them in the kind of dad that I have been. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Something I wanted to do as I thought about Father's Day, my wife asked me on the way to church this morning, "So how are you feeling about today?" I just said, "I'm going to be glad when it's over with." It hasn't been an easy message to kind of put together. You know, Mother's Day is much easier because I can pick on you mothers. But now it's Father's Day and I go like, "Oh yeah, I'm a father. I'm a dad." Changes the things a little bit. But then I'm not the only one here like that. But I do want all the dads here today, including me, to think about being a father. I want you to think about this. Because ultimately, every dad is going to have to stand before God someday. And will give an account on his relationship that he's had with his wife. We'll have to give an account on his relationship with his children. Some will have to give an account of their grandkids. Some great-grandkids. But ultimately, it's going to be given an account to God himself of who you have been, what you have done in showing your family and your kids how important God is to you. So that when they think of you, they also think of Jesus. That's a very important thing. One of the things that I realized too is that every dad will find out very quickly that he is not God. And that's why some of us have wives. They remind us, we're not God. And we're thankful for them as well. So in our text today, I want to learn from a dad, from a father, that we find here, who has two sons, and their names are James and John. They're sometimes known as the sons of thunder. They kind of like to react to what's on their mind. It's not things that happen when they're disciples of Jesus, that we find that one place they wanted to just call down lightning from heaven to zap them people that they didn't like. How many of you have thought of that recently? Zap them, Lord. Get them. Or if you hear thunder, you're going like, oh, good. There's some lightning out there. I sure hope it strikes so-and-so. But maybe you don't think that way because you are much better than that. But I want you to think a little bit about Zebedee. Think about this situation that we find him in here in the scriptures, that he had to deal with letting go of his two sons. And some of you still remember what that's like, to let go of your kids. It's not an easy thing, is it? Some of you go like, no, I wish I never had kids. I'd have been treated a lot better. But Zebedee had to let go of his two boys, James and John. And we find that they are working with their dad in the boat, because they were fishermen at the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, his boys get up from mending or tending to the nets, and they find this guy. And Zebedee, it's a stranger. He doesn't know who this guy is. This stranger comes up and says to his two sons, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they leave the boat, and they go with this guy. So put yourself into the sandals of Zebedee. He doesn't know who this guy is. And his boys just get up, leave him with all the work that needs to be done with the nets. He also has some servants in that boat. And they take off and they leave with a guy that we know better as Jesus. But Zebedee didn't know who Jesus was at this time. He got to know him later on for sure. I want to tell us a little bit something about Zebedee that you may not know of him. He was a Galilean fisherman, and he was a wealthy guy because he had a business in fishing and he had a number of boats. He also had a home in Jerusalem, not in the Great Lakes of Iowa, but he had another home. And this was very interesting to me that it says that he knew Caiaphas, the high priest. Caiaphas is the one who really didn't like Jesus. His wife's name was Salome. Salome is a sister to the Virgin Mary. It is Jesus who says to one of his sons, John, the youngest one, here's your mother, which would be his aunt, Mary, his mom, and to take care of his own mother. We find that it is Salome that is there on the resurrection Sunday with the ointments and the things that they're going to anoint the body of Jesus with, and they're concerned about who's going to move the stone because it was very large. So just to know some of these things about this family will help you to understand some of the things that were said to Jesus about these two guys. Let one sit on your right and one to sit on your left. That's Salome, the mother of her two boys. In your kingdom, Lord, can John and James sit on your side, one on each side? But we find at the Last Supper, there was only John, who's known as the beloved of Jesus. the beloved disciple who sat next to Jesus at the Last Supper. Interesting things. There's another interesting man that some of you may not know much about him, but it's Hans Luther. We call him Luther. Hans Luther, the father of Martin Luther. Did you know that Martin Luther's dad was a miner? He was a miner in a copper mine. And his name is Hans, or is it Hans? I don't know. Probably Hans. And Hans wanted Martin Luther to be a lawyer, not a miner, because it's dangerous work. And being a lawyer, you had a better life than working hard and long in a dangerous mine. What was his dad's reaction? This would be Hans's dad's reaction when he found out that his son Martin told him that he wanted to be a monk and not a lawyer. He wanted to go to a monastery. Do you think that set well with his father? Or was he going to have to tell the guys at break, did you know that my son wants to become a monk and not a lawyer? There's a lot of prestige in being a lawyer. More than likely, Hans was very disappointed, but could Zebedee have felt the same way with his sons? He had plans that they would grow up fishing in the Sea of Galilee just like he did. And he had other boats. He had other servants. They could have a good life fishing. But now they just left the nets, left the boat, left him, and took off with this guy who said he'll make them fishers of men. Now they know what fishers of fish are like, what that is all about. But they didn't know what he meant by making them fishers of men. So many dads have to let go of their sons, but oftentimes many dads let go of God completely in their lives. They live their lives sometimes through their son or daughter. They think they were such a stud in their day and are a macho guy, and they can do that and kind of teach their kids to do the same things they used to do. And the kids feel that pressure. They go like, well, maybe their dad wants them to be a bully, or they say the most important thing is that you're number one in whatever you do in life. You've got to be a great athlete. Who knows what that is? But there's dads who want to live through their sons, through their daughters, what they were like when they were young or when they were growing up. Their lives can be not very gentle and not very godly, and most of them are that way. You don't see God, that's very important in their lives. Or they may talk about God, but the kids see something really different. Grandkids too. You can have dads that don't encourage their kids or grandkids. And here's a very simple thing. I want dads and granddads to hear this. Something very simple that you can do as your kids are growing up. It's just to be there for them. The reason you go to whatever they are doing in life, they know that you are there watching them, but you're there. So that when they grow up, they'll always remember, well, I wasn't very good at this or very good at that, but I do remember Grandpa was there, Grandpa came, or Dad was there with Mom. It's very simple. Just be there. I know there's like T-ball that's probably going on. You know, there's summer things. You know, I didn't grow up loving soccer. I love baseball, softball. I understand that. Horseshoes. I knew what that was. But now I've got a grandson and a granddaughter who loves soccer, which means guess where I go? Soccer games. Do you know how long soccer games are? And they don't always have concessions. But I wouldn't have learned this if it wouldn't have been for my wife. If it was my choice, I would never go. But my wife says, you need to watch your grandkids. And the more I thought of that, I go like, yeah, it's true. So it's not so much what you say or what you teach. Are you there? Wherever they are at, watching. Are you encouraging them, even if they stink at what they play? But you tell them they're the best. You had a good game. I love coming. You know, the only reason I come to watch is because you're playing. You don't know how far that goes in the life of a kid. Sometimes dads let go of their mouths and they say hurtful things. I hope you're not a dad like that, or if you are, you're the kind of dad that will go back and apologize. Or you'll say, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have said that, or I'm sorry you had to hear that, or I'm having a bad day, whatever it was, but you got to make those amends. Sometimes it's like saying, you know, will you forgive me? I didn't mean it to hurt you. But you probably did at the time you said it, to be honest. The kids need to see that you are a person who believes in the things that Jesus believed in as well, and why Jesus came was to forgive us of our sins. None of us here are perfect. The only reason I stand up here in this pulpit is not because I think I'm better than you. It's just so you can see me. I have been down there for a number of years at the lectern down here, but I realize that not everybody can see me. This way I can find out really who's sleeping as well. Oh, okay. Thank you for waking up back there. So here what we do is, you know, dads need to develop a relationship with their family. And I don't know how you can impress that upon you, because you are who you are because you grew up in the home and you had the parents that you had. And you basically have learned a lot of things through them and by them, if it's good or bad. But that's where we need Jesus in our lives, because he will take off the sharp edges of our lives if they don't line up with what he wants us to be and the kind of parent that we need to be, even a grandparent. We find Zebedee did, I think, something very important. How many teenagers love to work? Raise your hand. Tristan, you like to work? Oh, you always work with a smile on your face? You always whistle while you work? I just love this day I'm in. What more can I do for you, Dad? What more can I do for you, Grandpa? I just love working. I mean, we have days where it's not like that, is it? But we need to develop, and this is one of the ways of doing this is by working together. This is something that probably dads understand more than anybody else. Moms are different. Moms are into more of the emotional kinds of things, and oh, you're so, you work too hard, and you better sit down and have some Kool-Aid. Dads are saying, like, get out here and get to work. And when work is over with, then you get a little more acclamation and responses like, you did a good day's work. You know, you did good today. Zebedee had two boys that he would work with. I don't know anything about nets, fishing nets in particular, because it's illegal for the most part to go fishing with a net. But you should have a net if you do catch a fish. You can do it that way. But it's during the working togetherness that you talk about different stories and memories that you have. You remember when I was your age? I remember my dad telling me to do this and do it this way and da 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 da. And he gives your kids a chance to ask questions or listen in too. They learn. And you get to know them. It's simply working together, doing things together. It's more of a hands-on thing. And that's what dads really respond to, more of hands-on things versus just sitting and talking. Take the initiative to show that you care and are interested in your kids and your grandkids. Take the initiative. You only get one chance, and you don't know how many days or years that may be. But take the initiative where they know you're there because you want to be there. You don't want your grandkids saying to their grandma, "What's wrong with Opa? He doesn't look very happy, or he's not too talkative." you don't want that. They need to see you. You're there because they're important to you, and they're the only reason why you're there. So how do you want to be remembered by your kids and your grandkids? How do you want to be remembered? Might be a good thing to ask them. How will you remember me or describe me? What is your description of me? It'd be good to hear that from your kids and grandkids. So how have I been as a dad? I'm glad my daughters aren't here today to hear this. But I think it's a good thing for me to ask them when I talk to them or when I see them, just saying, okay, you're going to wish me a happy Father's Day now. I got a question. What kind of dad have I been? How have I been as a father? What comes to your mind? You can learn things too. Maybe even say, well, man, I wasn't that good of a dad, but I'm really sorry if you remember bad things, because there were some good things we had. You can talk about the good things you remember that you had with them as they were growing up. One of the things I thought about as a Father's Day message is, you know, there's different phases in a man's life. You're a lot different today if you are a grandpa than when you were a teenager. Thank God, huh? And you think, where did all those years go? You remember when the kids were small and they're in diapers, and you're glad those days are over. And now they pass you your grandson or granddaughter who's in diapers. Your response is the same. Let Oma take care of her. Let Oma take care of him. Age plays a big part in fatherhood. And that's where I find that Proverbs, the book in the Old Testament, is very, very important. Do you know that Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs? There's one for each day of the month. If you don't know where to read the Bible, just find out in the calendar. Look at the calendar. What day is it? That's the chapter in Proverbs I'll read. Today's the 16th. Proverbs 16 is really good. But just read. It's better to read God's word than anything else. Zebedee and Mr. Hans Luther did not see the value or the impact that Jesus Christ would have on their sons or on their son. And a lot of times we don't either. We know who they are today. Martin Luther became a monk. He became a Catholic priest. He began the Protestant Revolution. All because of Jesus. In his day and in his time. Zebedee had two boys that became two of the 12 disciples that Jesus picked. Zebedee didn't know that that was in the cards in his life, that his two boys would have that kind of an encounter and that kind of a meaningful ministry that he didn't even know was a ministry with this guy. He didn't even know, but he came to know and to believe in and to trust him, just as his wife. But we find that Zebedee and Mr. Luther, Hans, they still had a part in all of their boys' accomplishments. They still had a part in all of what happened in their lives. We never know the impact we will have on our kids or our grandkids. We'll never know. We might have an idea, but to know what it actually will be, God knows. I hope it's one that you want, it'll be favorable because of Jesus who's in your life. Amen? Yeah, I know you're Lutherans. Amen? Amen. Oh, okay, now it's more Baptist. That's pretty good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for dads. And Lord, there's a lot of stories here in this place this morning about dads and about fathers. There may be of some who didn't even get to know their dad. Some that their dad died before he realized anything about him or didn't know him at all because he had died before he was born or he was too young. But there are many stories here of people who have grown up with a dad that can be helpful today as we reminisce and as we think about how important our dads have been to us. And to think now that, man, I got grandkids. And maybe some are here that their grandkids have been married and they've got kids, great grandkids. What a privilege. So, Lord, thank you for being faithful to us throughout our whole lives. And thank you that we can even start today. If we haven't been that good about it prior to today. But today we start. to know that Jesus makes a difference in our homes, in our families. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd humble us, because we know that that is something you really honor. You love a humble man more than a prideful one. And Lord, we know that even Satan left heaven and fell out of heaven, and those who followed him, all because of pride, to become something that they were never ever meant to be. Lord, may we, as dads, be what you want us to be. Thank you for your word that teaches us and tells us, encourages us along the way. We just give you thanks and praise today for all that you have done for us and continue to do for us, and even making this day a special day. So may we pray by closing with the Lord's Prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you're able to stand, let's do that and repeat the Apostles' Creed together. And notice it says I, not we, it says I. It's personal. This is what you believe personally. I hope, trust, and I pray. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, may your face shine upon these friends that are here today. May they know that you love them, that you care about each one, and we know that we can come to you at any time. Today, hopefully, because we don't know about tomorrow. We can come and say, Lord, I need you as my Heavenly Father. And I understand who you are because you sent us your Son. And if we know the Son, we know the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing Standing on the Promises, and we can't do that sitting down. So why don't you all stand?
Standing on the promises of God. Be to God.
You guys are gone.